Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we covered entity structures, LLCs, S-corps, and partnerships, and how to choose the right structure for your real estate investing strategy. Today, we're diving into one of the most important tax concepts for real estate investors, the difference between passive and active income, and how the IRS treats each type of income. Understanding this distinction is critical because it impacts your ability to use losses, your exposure to self-employment tax, and your overall tax planning strategy. Today, I'm going to explain what passive and active income are, how the IRS classifies different real estate activities, and what this means for your tax situation. Let's start with the fundamental definitions. Passive income is income from activities in which you do not materially participate. For most real estate investors, rental income from buy and hold properties is considered passive income. Active income is income from activities in which you materially participate. This includes W-2 wages, self-employment income from a business you actively run, and certain real estate activities where you meet material participation standards. The IRS created these classifications primarily to prevent taxpayers from using passive losses to offset active income like W-2 wages. Before the passive activity loss rules were enacted in 1986, high-income earners could invest in real estate partnerships, claim large depreciation deductions, and use those losses to offset their salary income, significantly reducing their tax liability. Congress decided this was too generous and enacted passive activity loss rules that generally prevent passive losses from offsetting active income. Now let's talk about how rental real estate is classified. Rental real estate is generally treated as a passive activity under IRS rules, regardless of participation level, unless specific exceptions apply. This means rental income is passive income, and rental losses are passive losses that can generally only offset other passive income. There are two important exceptions to this rule. The first exception is the $25,000 special allowance for active participants. If you actively participate in managing your rental property, you may be able to deduct up to $25,000 of rental losses against your other income, including W-2 wages. Active participation means you make management decisions in a significant and bona fide sense. You approve tenants, set rental terms, approve repairs and capital expenditures, and make other significant decisions. You don't have to do the day-to-day work yourself. You can hire a property manager, but you need to be involved in the major decisions. This $25,000 allowance phases out for taxpayers with modified adjusted gross income between $100,000 and $150,000. If your MAGI exceeds $150,000, the allowance is completely phased out. For most high-income real estate investors, this allowance is not available due to the income phase-out. The second exception is real estate professional status. If you qualify as a real estate professional under IRS rules, your rental real estate activities are not automatically treated as passive. Instead, you apply the material participation tests to determine whether each rental activity is passive or active. If you qualify as a real estate professional and materially participate in your rental activities, your rental income becomes non-passive, and your rental losses can potentially offset W-2 income and other active income. This is a potentially significant tax benefit for those who qualify, but the requirements are strict. We'll cover real estate professional status in detail in tomorrow's episode. Now let's talk about what happens when you have passive losses. If your rental expenses and depreciation exceed your rental income, you have a rental loss. This loss is generally passive. If you have other passive income from other rental properties, syndication investments, or other passive activities, you can use your passive losses to offset that passive income. But if you don't have other passive income and you don't qualify for the $25,000 special allowance or real estate professional status, your passive losses are suspended. Suspended losses don't disappear. They carry forward to future years. You can use them to offset future passive income, or you can deduct them when you dispose of the property in a fully taxable transaction. This is why understanding passive loss limitations is so important. Many investors expect rental losses to reduce their W-2 income and are surprised when they can't. Let me give you a practical example. Let's say you're a high-income W-2 employee earning $200,000 per year. You purchase a rental property that generates $24,000 in rental income and has $32,000 in expenses, including depreciation. You have an $8,000 rental loss. This loss is passive. Because your MAGI exceeds $150,000, you don't qualify for the $25,000 special allowance. You don't have other passive income, and you don't qualify as a real estate professional. Your $8,000 loss is suspended and carries forward. It doesn't reduce your current year taxable income. However, if you have another rental property that generates $10,000 in passive income, you can use your $8,000 passive loss to offset that income, reducing your taxable passive income to $2,000. Now let's talk about active real estate income. Not all real estate income is passive. If you're actively involved in certain real estate businesses, your income may be classified as active and subject to self-employment tax. Active real estate income includes income from property management services if you're in the business of managing properties for others, real estate brokerage commissions, real estate development or construction, house flipping, where you're actively buying, renovating, and selling properties, and real estate consulting or advisory services. These activities are not passive rental activities. They're active businesses. Income from these activities is subject to self-employment tax and can be offset by business expenses and losses. This is where entity structure becomes important. If you're earning significant active income from real estate businesses, an S-Corp election may provide self-employment tax savings, as we discussed yesterday. Now let's talk about material participation. Material participation is a key concept in determining whether an activity is passive or active. The IRS has 7 tests for material participation. You only need to meet one of these tests for an activity to be considered non-passive. The most common tests are participating in the activity for more than 500 hours during the year, participating more than 100 hours during the year when your participation is not less than any other individual's participation, and your participation constituting substantially all of the participation in the activity. There are 4 additional tests that apply in specific circumstances, but these 3 are the most commonly used. For most rental real estate, even if you meet these material participation tests, the activity is still considered passive unless you also qualify as a real estate professional. This is a critical point. Material participation alone is not enough to make rental real estate non-passive. You must also qualify as a real estate professional. Now let's talk about grouping elections. The IRS allows you to group multiple rental properties into a single activity for purposes of applying the passive activity loss rules. This can be beneficial because it allows you to aggregate hours across all properties when testing for material participation. For example, if you own 5 rental properties and spend 120 hours on each property, you might not meet the 500-hour test for any individual property. But if you group them into a single activity, you've spent 600 hours total, which meets the test. Grouping elections must be made on a timely filed tax return and should be done in consultation with your CPA. Now let's talk about portfolio income. Portfolio income is a third category of income, separate from passive and active income. Portfolio income includes interest, dividends, capital gains from stocks and bonds, and royalties not derived in the ordinary course of business. Portfolio income cannot be offset by passive losses. This is important because some investors think they can use rental losses to offset capital gains from stock sales. In most situations, you cannot. Now let's talk about the net investment income tax. High-income taxpayers may be subject to an additional 3.8% net investment income tax on certain types of investment income, including passive rental income. The NIIT applies to taxpayers with modified adjusted gross income above $200,000 for single filers or $250,000 for married filing jointly. The tax is 3.8% of the lesser of your net investment income or the amount by which your MAGI exceeds the threshold. Rental income is generally considered investment income subject to the NIIT unless you qualify as a real estate professional and materially participate in your rental activities. This is another significant benefit of real estate professional status. It can eliminate exposure to the 3.8% NIIT on rental income. Let me share some common mistakes investors make with passive and active income classification. First, expecting rental losses to offset W-2 income without understanding passive loss limitations. This is one of the most common surprises for new investors. Second, not tracking hours spent on real estate activities. If you're trying to qualify as a real estate professional or prove material participation, you need contemporaneous records of your time. Third, not making grouping elections when beneficial. Grouping can help you meet material participation tests and utilize losses more effectively. Fourth, not understanding the difference between active real estate businesses and passive rental activities. Property management income is active. Rental income is passive. Fifth, not planning for the net investment income tax. High-income investors should consider strategies to minimize NIIT exposure. Sixth, not working with a qualified real estate CPA who understands these complex rules and can help you optimize your tax position. Our approach to managing passive and active income is strategic and well-documented. We understand that our rental income is passive and plan accordingly. We don't expect rental losses to offset W-2 income unless we qualify for specific exceptions. We track all time spent on real estate activities using time tracking software. This provides contemporaneous records if we need to prove material participation or real estate professional status. We've made appropriate grouping elections to aggregate our rental properties for passive activity loss purposes. We separate our active real estate business income, property management and consulting, from our passive rental income and structure entities accordingly. We work with a qualified real estate CPA who helps us navigate passive activity loss rules, material participation tests, and tax optimization strategies. And we plan proactively for the net investment income tax and evaluate strategies to minimize our exposure. Let me close with this. Understanding the difference between passive and active income is fundamental to real estate tax planning. Rental income is generally passive and subject to passive activity loss limitations. Rental losses can typically only offset other passive income unless you qualify for the $25,000 special allowance or real estate professional status. Active real estate business income, property management, brokerage, flipping, is subject to self-employment tax, but can be offset by business losses. Material participation tests determine whether an activity is passive or active. But for rental real estate, you must also qualify as a real estate professional for the activity to be non-passive. Track your time, make appropriate grouping elections, and work with qualified tax professionals to optimize your tax position within these rules. Tomorrow, we're diving deep into real estate professional status, the requirements, the benefits, and whether it makes sense for your situation. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at passiveinvestorcoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.